The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas, Parashas Truma, starts Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'Emor. Hashem said to Moshe to say, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yikli truma, speak to the children of Israel and take for me truma, contributions, me'es kol ish ashe yidven alibay, from every person whose heart contributes, who contributes from his heart. Tikues trumosi, you shall take my truma, my offerings. And this is, these are the offerings, the contributions which you shall take from them. Gold, silver. Nechoshes is copper or brass. And the Torah continues to itemize the various necessities which were needed. Then the Torah tells us in Posuches, what should you do with all of this? The Osuli Migdosh, make for me a Migdosh, a sanctuary, Vishochanti Viseichon, that I may dwell amongst you. This Mishkon, this was known as the Migdosh or the Mishkon. This was the sanctuary that was made in the desert and went with Klal Yisrael for the 40 years. And then, later on, it came into Eretz Yisrael for several hundreds of years until finally it was made into the permanent Beis HaMikdosh in Yerushalayim and Har HaBayis. That was by David and Shlema, King David and King Solomon. The Torah continues on Posuk Yud, Me'osu Arein Atzei Shitim, you shall make an oren out of a type of wood which was known as shitim, it's a type of cedar wood. The oren was a case, a large case, which was going to hold the Sefer Torah, which Moshe wrote, and the tablets and the broken tablets. Amosayim v'chetzi orko, v'ama v'chetzi rochbay, v'ama v'chetzi kamosay. It shall be 2.5 amos long, 1.5 amos wide, and 1.5 amos high. An amo is approximately, how much is that in meters? An amo? About 0.5 meter. Bitsipisa isav zohov tohor. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Mibayis mechutz tetzapenu, both from the inside and from the outside. Vosisa olav zir zohov saviv, and you shall make on it a golden crown. Then the Torah tells us that you should make rings on the side of it. Rings on the four corners. And that was, they were for the badim. The badim were the staves. And the staves also were made out of wood and overlaid with gold. And the purpose of the staves were to carry the oren when they move from one place to the other. Lo yasuru mimenu. And these staves should not be removed from the oren at any time, even when the oren was in its proper place. Binosata el oren, eso aidusa sheretene lecho, and you shall place into the oren the testimony. This refers to the Torah and the tablets, which I am giving to you. Vasisa kaporis dohov tohor, Then, on top of the Oren, there was to be a piece of gold, Amosai Vachetzi Orko Vamo Vachetzi Rochbai, the exact size of the width and the length of the Oren. And from here was to be hewed out Vasisha Shnaim Krubim Zohov, two images, a kruv, Rashi brings in the Targum in Aramaic, means a child. So the images of two children. Mikshotasa Esom Mishnek Seisa Kaporis, they were to be hewed out from the edges, either edge, both edges of this kaporis, of this gold covering. Va'ase kruvechod mikotsu mizeh, ukruvechod mikotsu mizeh, mina kaporis tasu esa kruvim al shnei kseisov. One kruv, one image from one side, and the other image from the other side. Ve'hoyu akruvim porsei konofayim lamala, and they would have wings, and their wings would spread out on top. Sochechim bekanfeim ala kaporis, the wings would cover this gold plate. Ufneim ish el ochiv, and one face, one would be facing the other. These Chazal, the sages tell us that one was in the image of a young boy, and the other was in the image of a young girl. Ufneim ish el ochiv el akaporis yu pnei hakruvim. Minosates akaporis al oren memolo, and this whole gold plate with the images should be placed on top of the oren, and then bala oren titain esa edus hasher etain elecho, and in the oren will be the tablets. Minoareti lecho shom, and this is where I will permanently meet you. Noareti comes from the word ma'ed, which means a permanent place of meeting, or something which is designated at a permanent time or a permanent place. And this is why the Mishkan also was known as the Ohel Moed. It was the place where Moshe would come. He had a permanent place to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'no'areti lachom shom, I will meet you there. V'dibarti itcho me'ala kaporis, and I will speak to you from the kaporis. Mibein shnei hakruvim, and the word of Hashem, the voice of Hashem, would come between these two images. Asher al aron ha'aidus, which was on top of the oren of the tablets. Eis kol asher atzav Yisrael b'nei Yisrael, everything that I want to command you to say to the children of Israel. Doesn't mean that Moshe went all the way to the Oren, because the Oren was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Mishkan would have the Mishkan in the same, as follows the Beis HaMikdash, would have a chotzer, a courtyard. This was known as the Azor in the Beis HaMikdash. And then they would have a covered area. And the covered area was divided into two parts. The first part was known, in total it was known as the Heichal, but the first part, or the Ohel Moed, but the first part was known as the Kodesh, and then there was a curtain, a pareches that would divide, and then the inner chamber was known as the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This, the Oren, was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the most holiest of places. It doesn't mean that Moshe would go all the way in, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice would come out from there to him. The purpose of the command to take all of these necessities, the gold, the silver, the copper, the wools, and so forth, was to build the Mishkan. The purpose of building the Mishkan is what it states, what we just read. Vosuli Migdosh, make for me a mikdash, a sanctuary, a holy place, vishochanti b'seichom, that I may dwell amongst you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should dwell in amongst Klal Yisrael. The word mishkon comes from the word shochen, to dwell. The first, according to the what the sages teach us, when did this take place? This took place immediately after Yom HaKippurim, the day after. Because this was the first opportunity for this, for basically any of the mitzvahs to be fulfilled. Because Moshe went up to the mountain on Shavuos, and he stayed there 40 days. When he came down, there was the whole Isaac, the whole episode of the golden calf. He had to judge the people. The next morning he went up again, stayed there for another 40 days. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to come down and to hew out some tablets, because he had broken the first tablets. Hew out some new tablets and come back up for a third 40 days. At the end of the third 40 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the new tablets and the Torah. He forgave the nation. And that took place on Yom HaKippurim. Now Moshe comes down the day after Yom Kippur, and immediately he commands the people in the building of the Mishkan. We can ask two questions. Why did Hashem want a Mishkan, this edifice, so he could dwell in it? And secondly, why was the first to be constructed, or at least the first to be commanded to be constructed, the Oren HaKodesh, the case, the ark, which would hold the Sefer Torah and the tablets? Medrash brings in the beginning of Parshas Truma, "V'ikuli Truma dod huv d'ksib ki lekachto nosati lochem torosi al ta'azovu. Shlema Melech wrote in Mishlei ki lekachto nosati lochem. I have given you good merchandise. It's merchandise of Tov. Torosi al ta'azovu. Do not forsake my Torah." The Medrash carries on to explain why is Hashem's merchandise, that is the Torah, which he gave to Israel, why is that so good? And it mentions many things. Because sometimes something might have gold and not silver, silver and not gold, it says both. Sometimes something might have grains and not fruits, or fruits and not grains. This is both. It goes on. But then it says one more thing. Yeshloch mekach shemi shemachor shemachorei nimkar imai. You'll never get something that you buy and you acquire not only that which is bought, but the seller also together with it. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, mechati lechem torosi kaviyochel nimkati imo. Hashem said to Israel, I have sold you my Torah. When I sold you my Torah, it's as if I sold you myself also. Shenema v'yichli truma. And that's why Hashem said to take all of these offerings in order to build for me a sanctuary. Moshe l'melech sho'isa l'bas yuchido. An example this can be explained by is that there was a king, a great king, and he had an only daughter. And a young prince came along from a royal family, and they became married. After all of the celebrations, Bikesh Leilech Leila Atsoy Ulital Ishtoy. He wanted to return to his own land and to take his new wife with him. Amalei. So the king said, Biti shenasati lacha yichidis. Lifraish mimena eni yochel. He said, you should know that the daughter which I gave to you is my only daughter. To separate myself from her, that's something I cannot do. Leim lacha al titla eni yochel lefishi ishtecho. To tell you have to go home alone and you have to leave her here, that I can't, because she's your wife now. On the other hand, that you should take her with you, also I can't, because I can't separate myself from her. She's my only daughter. Therefore, elazu teva asudi, do this favor for me. Shekol mokum shato holeich, kitun echod osali, she'edor etzlachem. Do this for me, that wherever you go, build for me also a small house, that I can come and live with you. Sheni yochel aniach es biti, because I cannot separate myself from my daughter. Kachoma akorish bochel Israel. So did Hashem say to Israel, Nosati lachem es haTorah. I have given you my Torah. The Torah to me is like my only daughter. I have nothing of such prized possession. Lifrei shemeno eni yochel, to separate myself from her, then I cannot. Leima lachem al titlua, to say, give it back. I can't, I already gave it to you. El b'chol mokum she'atem holchim ba'is echad asuli she'ador b'seichai. And therefore, I ask this of you, that wherever you go, build a little home where I can come also, so I can stay with you. Shenemar, and that's what it states, v'osuli migdosh v'shochanti b'seichon. Make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. Here we see 3 points. First of all, we see what the Torah is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what an only daughter is to a great king. Secondly, we see, what does it mean, ki lekach tov nosati loch? Secondly, we see, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us to build for him a mishkan? Why? Why does he need a Beis HaMikdash? What does he need a sanctuary for? Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll see later on, was Matmiya. When Hashem said this, he didn't understand. He says, you don't have where to live. You have the Shomea Shomayim, the heavens, the seven heavens, and above that. What do you need what we build for you? Great king? The Melech Malchei Amlochim, the king of all kings. Now the answer is explicit. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be together with his Torah. And if he has given the Torah to Israel, then he has to be there also. Just as the king cannot separate himself from his only daughter. And this is known as Shechina. This is the part of Hashem that comes with his Torah to Israel, because he's given his Torah to Israel. The Shekhinah is the part of Hashem that dwells. Shekhinah from the word Shochein, and this is why the Mishkan was called by the word Mishkan. Shochein, Lishkein. That's the second point we see. The third point we see is what Shlema HaMelech in his wisdom meant to say. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem. Torosi al tazovu, I am selling you merchandise that is tov, that has in it what no other merchandise has. Is there any merchandise when you buy it, and not only you acquire the merchandise, you acquire the seller also? Here, when you acquired the merchandise, you acquired also the seller, you acquired HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the Medrash is telling us. There's a second Medrash, which also brings out this point, but in a little different fashion. This medrash is also in Parsha Lamed Gimel, which is at the beginning of Truma, but Os Ches. Dorash Reb Samloi. No, excuse me. And the Pasuk, Torah Tziva Lono Mesha, Morosha Kihilas Yaakov. This is a Pasuk in Parsha Zeis HaBrocha, Dvorim Lamed Gimel. Torah Tziva Lono Moshe, Morosha Kihilas Yaakov. The Torah Moshe has commanded us, it shall be a heritage for the congregations of Israel. The Medrash says, Dova Acher, it's Darshanin on this Posuk. Al tihi kore moroso, ela meuroso. Do not refer to it as moroso, as a heritage, but as a meuroso, as a betrothal. When Hashem commanded us Torah, the Torah and Yisrael became betrothed, zelazeh to each other. Ma choson zeh, kol zman shelenosa arusosoi, hu hove paradoran lebeis chomov. What is the way of the world, the derech eretz? The way of the world is that when a person becomes engaged, the choson is always by his father-in-law's house, because he wants to be with his kala. So he goes often to his father-in-law's house, and he gives honor to his father-in-law, to his mother-in-law. Mishanoso, but once he's married, he marries her, and he brings her to his house, hareya viha bo etzlo, then it changes. Then they don't go back so often. To the contrary, then the father of the kala and the mother come often to visit he and his wife. Kachat shalei nitna Torah liYisrael, Moshe ol elokim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu first came to Yisrael, be it at the time of Avram, Yitzchak, or Yaakov, or be it at the time of Moshe and in Mitzrayim, there, Moshe would go to Hashem. Even on Har Sinai, it states, Moshe ola el elakim. Moshe went to Hashem. But mishanit in the Torah, but once the Torah was given to Israel, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you've already taken my Torah, now I will come to you. You don't have to come to me anymore. Don't have to go up to Har Sinai anymore. I will come to you. Mishanit na Torah Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe Va'osu Li Migdosh V'Shachanti B'Seicho. Make for me a Migdosh that I can dwell amongst you in the Migdosh. You will not have to come to me. This is the same principle, but a little different parable. Now, so we've answered the first question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us to take all of this truma, all of these offerings, and go through the whole business of constructing the Mishkan and later the Migdosh? Because he had to come now and live with us, since his Torah was given to us. I mean, this means as follows. We can't make that mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't dwell with us for any other reason. Had he not given us the Torah, he would not dwell with us. He dwells with us because we accepted his Torah. And his Torah is like his only daughter. This is why he needs a place, and he commanded us to construct a Mishkan, so he can be with us all of the time. Now, with that, we answer the second question. The first tzivoy, first command, first order of business of how to make the Mishkan was the tzivoy of the Oren HaKodesh. What was the purpose of the Aron HaKodesh? To hold the Torah and the tablets. Because this was the reason why HaKodesh Baruch Hu was coming to live in the Mishkan. With this, we understand another Midrash. The Midrash in Parsha Lamed Dalet Os Aleph. Incidentally, these simonim which I'm mentioning, that's in this defus, in this print, different prints of the Midrash, it varies somewhat. Perek Lamed Dalet Os Aleph states as follows. Dober Acher. B'shosh Yom HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. Asalei Mishkon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe, he said, make for me a sanctuary. Hischil Matmiya. Moshe was full of wonderment. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam. Kvedi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei Elyonim V'Tachtonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes up not only the entire world, he takes up the Olam HaElyon and the Olam HaTachton, the upper worlds and lower worlds. Firstly, what does he need this Mishkan for? But secondly, he had two wonders. Secondly, how is he going to fit in our Mishkan? His kvodo, his honor, spreads endlessly. How is he going to fit in this little Mishkan? V'hu ha'im ha'aseli Mishkan. V'od ha'yem mistakel v'raya she'shloma omeru b'ayna b'yis ha'migdash hu godl min ha'mishkan v'omar lifnei ha'kodesh baruch hu ki ha'om nom yeshev elekim al oretz. And then Moshe saw b'ruach ha'kodesh with prophecy that Shlomo HaMelech, many generations later, would build a great Beis HaMikdash, which would be far larger than our Mishkan. And he also would ask, Hashem is going to come and live here, Al Oretz, in this. Amar Meishu, Ma Beis HaMikdash, Yese V'Yese Min HaMishkan, Shlomo Omer Kein. So Meishu said to Hashem, if the Beis HaMikdash is so much larger than the Mishkan, and Shlema was wondering, so Mishkan Alachas Kama Vakama, so how much more so with this small sanctuary? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem said, Leike Shem Shato Sober, Kachani Sober. He says, our minds don't work the same way. It's sufficient for me if there are 20 upright beams in the north, 20 upright beams in the south, and 8 across the west. These were the beams that created the structure of the Mishkan. He said, that's sufficient for me. Velo od, and not only that, and not only that, but I don't even need that much. I'm going to condense. I'm going to constrain my Shechina where it can dwell in the space of one Amma by one Amma. In other words, a square half meter. That'll be sufficient for me. The Mefarshim commentators say, what is that one Amma or one Amma? That's referring to the space between the two Kruvim. Where the two Kruvim, right between the two Kruvim, that will be the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's main Shekhinah is. Like we learned, like we read, that there his voice will come out to the world. So again, now, this will be the explanation. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's whole motive is to be with the Torah, which he has given Israel. And that Torah is right there. And it's sufficient for him. Now, so this is the reason why the first tzivui, the first command of what to make for the Mishkan was the Aron HaKodesh. There's another reason given in in the Chazal. As to why should that be, why that should be the first. This is in the Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Lamed Dalet Beis. Immediately after Hashem said, "You shall bring all of these offerings to build the Mishkan," the first command was to make for me the oran out of the shittim, out of the cedar wood. Why first? Maha Torah keduma lechol, kach b'maase hamishkon higdima sa'oran lechol akelim. The Torah preceded everything else in the creations of the world, of the worlds. Therefore, in the creation of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary, the Torah also must precede everything else. And the Oran was the case which would hold the Torah. Maha Or called him Lechol Maisa Bereshis. Just like light preceded the creation. What do we mean preceded the creation? It was first. Diksivayim Elakim Yihi Or. First command that we have is Hashem said, let there be light. After Mishkan in the Torah, in the Mishkan also, HaTorah Shenikres Or. Torah is called Or, as it states, Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. This is in Mishle. Kodmu Ma'aseh L'chol HaKelim. Therefore, it also was first before anything else was to be made. So here the Medrash gives two reasons. It says that the Oran was first because the Oran was for the Torah. And the Torah preceded all of creations. Then it states, the Torah is Or, and Or was the first of the creation. Therefore, Torah must be first. This is the Oran. Now, in order to understand this properly, because we're speaking about something which is very deep, we must go to another medrash. The other medrash is in Perek Lamed Gimel, Os Dalet. Rabbi Achya Posach. Rabbi Achya started to explain this with a posach from Divrei Hayomim Aleph Posach of Tes. Lecha Hashem Hagdula Vahagvura. It's a posach we're all familiar with. Lecha Hashem Hagdula Vahagvura. Matiferes Vanetzach Vahod. Ki Kol Bashomayim of Oretz. What does it mean, Kol Bashomayim of Oretz? All that is in the heavens is on the earth. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the heavens, He created in the earth. Whatever we find in the earth, we find in the heavens. When we say the heavens, we're not only referring to the physical heavens, we're referring to the spiritual heavens also. Now, where do we find everything that's in the heavens and in the spiritual heavens? Where do we find it all on the earth? So the Medrash explains. Atam otzi kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu lamalam bosa lamboro lamatam. Whatever Hashem created above, He created below. For example, brings a posuk, two psukim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heavens are referred to. One is called Zebul, another is called Arofel. When Shlomo HaMelech made the Beis HaMikdosh, it says, Ozoma Shlomo Hashem Omar Lishkein Ba'arofel Uksiv Bonai Bonisi Beis Vuloch. Shlomo HaMelech said, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu can dwell here, and he referred to it as the Arofel and as the Zvul. He gave it the same names as the heavens above. Another example, Srafim Omdim Mimalai Lamata Atzeshitim Omdim. In the heavens you have your Srafim Omdim, you have your angels of fire which stand. In the Mishkan, you had your upright beams that stand. Lamalon Kruvim. These Kruvim, Yoshev Kruvim, it states these are in the heavens. And in the Mishkan, we have Kruvim. These were the two images. Lamalon Vayfanim. And the Medrash goes on and on to show that whatever was created above was created here in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary. Another example, Yehi Rakia B'Sei Chamayim, when Hashem created the world. Now here we're going to a different notch. Till now we were speaking about the Elomos Elyonim, in other words, the spiritual worlds. Whatever you find in the spiritual world, Kodesh Baruch Hu created here in the Mishkan. But now we're going into the physical world. Yehi Rakia B'Sei Chamayim, in the Ma'aseh Bereishis, in the acts of the creation of the physical world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let there be a rakia, let there be a division between the lower waters and the upper waters. And this is, in English it's called the firmament. This would be the sky, which divides between the lower waters and the upper waters. And in the Mishkan he made a division. V'ivdila ha'breches lochem. We mentioned there was the two chambers, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there was a curtain that would divide between the two. Another example, it states, Lemala neta shamayim kariya, lemata esi yiriyas. States that in Tehillim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread the heavens over the world like a yiriya. A yiriya is like a large skin or a large curtain. And the Mishkan, it states Eser Yiriyos, that we must make these curtains or these skins which created the ceilings of the Mishkan. And so on. This is what is meant, that when David HaMelech wrote, and actually this is in Divrei HaYomim, Ki kol bashamayim uva'oretz, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the heavens, he created here on the earth. Kol ma shebara lamala, bara lamato. And then the Medrash says even more. You know, many times, all the time, we want to, in Yiddish it's called Kriecher Ein in Himmel. We want to crawl into the upper worlds. It's not enough here for us. Not so. Medrash says, V'lo od, ele shechavivim kol ma shelamata mi shelamala. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you should know, there's more dear to me what I created down here than what I created up there. What's the proof? The proof is simple. Teidaloch, sheniach ma shelamalon, v'yorad bishelmato, shenema vosali mishkon. Because I commanded you to make a sanctuary so I could come and live down here. Why don't I live up there? Because I like it down here better. See? So we don't have to kricharein in Himmel, we don't have to crawl into the heavens. Kodesh Baruch Hu likes it down here better. That's what the Medrash says. La'ed el shechaviv kol ma shelamata mishelamalo. It's more dear to him what's here than what's up there. Teidaloch, the proof is, because he left all that's up there. He came down here. He said, make for me a mishkan. I want to be down here. Now, what do we see from this medrash? Because this medrash will help us understand what we said before. This medrash we see, and this was all in the sanctuary, that the sanctuary was an olam katan, was a total world by itself, a complete world. And not only was it a world like the physical world, it was a world like this, it encompassed the spiritual world also. Like the Medrash says, it says just the same type of angels that were in the spiritual world, he made that in a physical form in the Mishkan. There were Kruvim, here there were Kruvim. There were Srafim, the angels of fire standing upright, here were the Kroshim, here were the beams standing upright. So not only like the physical world, like it states that he made a firmament to divide between the upper waters and the lower waters, and here he made the Pareches, and the Mishkan, the curtain, to divide between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Or he spread the sky over the world like a great cloth. And these were the cloths or the skins that we were commanded to make, which was spread over the Mishkan. That whatever he had made in the entire physical world, which drew its strength from the entire spiritual world, all of this was placed in the Mishkan. So we see that the Mishkan was an olam katan bifnei atzman. It was a complete world by itself, encompassing all of the worlds. That's one thing we say from the Midrash. And that's what it means, ki kol bashamayim of oretz. Whatever Hashem made in the shamayims, in the heavens, he made here, down here also. Now, if that's the case, so then when Moshe was commanded to build the Mishkan, it couldn't be haphazard. It had to contain exactly everything that was in all of the worlds. That's why the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, was so exact, and the Torah goes through such length to explain every hook and the exact size of everything, every board and every material. It had to be made exactly, but also something else. Couldn't be made in a haphazard fashion. It had to be made keseder habriya. It had to follow the order in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of the heavens and the earth. Because that wasn't haphazard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a reason why he created the world the way he did. Therefore, the Mishkan also had to be created exactly in that fashion. So this is what the Mishkan, this is what the Medrash is saying. It says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us first to build the Oren? Because the Oren was the Torah. The Torah was to be placed into the Oren. And Ma HaTorah Kaduma Lachol, Kacha Oren Kaduma Lachol. Just like the Torah preceded the entire creations, therefore the Oren also must precede the entire construction of the Mishkan. Where do we see the Torah preceded the entire creations? I mean, actually it states, Bereshis bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. In the beginning he created the heavens and the earth. So where do we see the Torah preceded? Now this is talking already in the Lomas Elyonim, not in the creation of the physical world before. The Chazal tell us, this is a Gemara in Perek Rabbi Kiva, that Kodma HaTorah Lebriyas HaOlam Tov Tov Kuf Ein Dalet Doros, that the Torah preceded the creation of the physical world by 974 generations. Why 974? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he decreed Torah Tzivah Le'elef Dor. He will command the Torah to the 1,000th generation. And Torah was given to the 26th generation, because there were 10 generations from Adam to Abraham, to Noach, another 10 generations from Noach to Abraham, that's 20. And then you had Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kohos, Amram, and Moshe. So altogether, this is 26 generations. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu had decreed that Torah would be given only 1,000 generations after he had made the Torah. And therefore, the Torah was created 974 generations before the creation of the world. And it was given 26 generations later. At any rate, the Torah preceded the creations of all of the worlds. The Oren, which would hold the Torah, would have to precede the rest of the construction of the entire Mishkan. Therefore, the first tzivui, the first command, was to make the Oren. Then the Medrash goes further. It says, Ma ha'or kodem l'chol ma'aseh b'reishis. The beginning of all creation was the light. Now here we're referring to the physical world. When Hashem came to create the physical world, the Midrash says the first tzibui was, Yihi or, let there be light. So this was the beginning of the creation of the physical world. And the Mishkan also has to be in this pattern and in this manner. And therefore, the Torah, which is known as light, Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, had to precede the rest of the construction of the Mishkan. Why is it that the beginning of the physical creation was with light? Why couldn't it be with something else? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu could create it with earth, with fire. Why is it with light? There's a very deep answer to this, but it's very logical. The Chazal tell us, if we would want to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he is, how would we describe him? They describe him as Kula Or, light. We're not talking about our light, because our light is a physical light, but a spiritual light, Kula Or. This Or, this light, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared with the creation. First the Torah. Created the Torah first. And the Torah states it's the same as Hashem. It's merely the revelation of He and His will. And therefore the Torah is the closest entity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore Torah Or. The Torah shares this light. This is why the Torah is Or. Now when He wanted to come and create the world, He imparted from Himself to the creation. So what did He impart from Himself? Further this light. When he created man, it states He created man b'tzalmeinu u'kidmuseinu, in His own image. What does it mean, in His own image? Hashem doesn't have an image. The Maral says He gave him from His light. Where do we see that? That's the Haroras Ponov. Man has a light, a radiance on his face. It says, Teir od chokmos odam teir ponov. The spiritual wisdom of man is recognized from the light in his face. How do we know this is something special? Because I'll tell us. Because the minute the person dies, the instant the neshama leaves him, his face grows a deathly paleness, the instant. Because that is light is given to man through the neshama, through the breath, which by yipach ba'apov, then Hashem blew into his nostrils. In other words, it says he gave man a part of himself. That's that light. And this is the Tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem. And therefore, when he was creating the world, if he's creating the world from himself, he's imparting from himself to the world, it has to be the light. Except when it came down to our level, to the physical level, it was not a total non-physical light, but it was a physical light. But still we find, the Maral says, is that light is the most non-physical element that we have in the physical world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created first four elements. And from the four elements, he built and constructed the rest of the world. We find in these four elements, as it went downward, it became more physical, because it became further from him. The first was the light. See, his spiritual light came into the world, and once it came into the physical universe, it became partially physical. From there came the ruach, the air. From there came the esh, the fire. And from there came the offer, the earth. So this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Maho Or, Kaduma Lachol Maise Breishis, light was the first creation of our physical world. The Torah represents the light. It had to be in the beginning of the Mishkan. If we carry this further, the Chazal go further. They tell us that what kind of name is this Oron? What does it mean, Oron? This is what held the Sefer Torah. It says Hashem Or, comes from the word Or, light. Because it was to hold the spiritual light. This was something which was physical, but it was to hold the light, and therefore it itself became light. And Hashem Eir Al Etzem, all the time, a name is not merely arbitrarily. It's the identification. So the sages go further. The Oren was called an Oren because of the Or HaTorah, the light of the Torah, because it possessed a spiritual light. It states that Eina Tefes Mokum. In the Kodesh, it absorbed no space. The dimensions of the space in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the most holy of the chambers, was the same before you put in the Oren and after you put in the Oren. No space was absorbed. And if we notice another thing, it states what we read, that the dimensions of the Oren are all what is known as shvurais, fractioned. When it comes to the Oren, it states, Amasayim v'chetzi orka, 2.5 amas long, Amma v'chetzi rochbay, an am and a half wide, Amma v'chetzi komose, an am and a half high. Shvurais, each one is fractioned. While by all the other kelim, all the others, it's not like that, they're shlemos. What does this depict? This is to let us know that there's no end to it. If this Or is coming from Hashem Himself, it has its source by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore it's infinite. When something is complete, that means it ends there. The Oren can't be complete if it's holding the Torah, because it's infinite by Hashem. And another point, it states, the Oren in the Shulchan, that was the table that was in the Kodosh, and the Mizbeach, the altar that was in the Kodosh, all had a Zer Zohov, a golden crown. And each represented a certain type of royalty. And the others, it states, Bas Sisalei, Bas Osulei. Here it states, Bas Sisa, Bas Sisa Olof. You shall make the crown on it. The other was, you shall make the crown to it. Here, the crown on it. So the Chazal Dashim, because the crown of Torah, Keser Torah, was the greatest crown of all. But the Maral adds, Olof means above. It's always above us. It's always beyond us. We'll go to one more point. We were commanded to make the Oren also. This is in Pasuk Yud. We also arein atzei shitim out of cedar wood. Then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, v'tzipisa eisei zahav tohor, you shall overlay it with gold, v'bayisu mechutz tetzapenu, from the inside and from the outside. So it's to be made of wood, but on the outside was to be gold, and on the inside was to be gold. Rashi brings that when Bezalel was your chief engineer, your chief architect. He was actually the project manager. When Bezalel made the Oren, and he had these directions out of wood, but gold on the outside, gold on the inside. He decided the best way to make it is Shlesh Arenis. He made three, each one a little smaller than the next. And the medium-sized one was made out of wood, and he took the medium-sized one and he put it in the largest one, which was made out of gold. And then he took the smallest one, which was made out of gold, and he put that inside the other two. And then he overlaid the edges, the top edges, with gold. And then he had that it was made out of wood, but at the same time, the inside and the outside were gold. This is what the sages say, and Rashi brings it here. Now is the question. Gold is your most valuable material when it comes to these minerals, outside of perhaps precious stones. And we see the menorah was made out of pure gold. The shulchan, the table, was made out of pure gold. The Oren certainly should have been made out of pure gold. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to make it out of wood? Although this wood, the Gemara in Bava Basra brings, I forgot how many, but something like 8 or 9 or 10 different types of cedar. And this was the most precious of all of the cedar trees. But at any rate, but why wood? Secondly, if it is to be made out of wood, so why was the wood concealed? If the wood is concealed, so there's no purpose for it. The Maral says as follows. He says it had to be made out of gold, but it had to be made out of wood also. Why? Gold represents your most precious metal. It represents wealth. It represents honor. Actually, the Medrash here states that there were certain things that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to create for the physical world, because the physical world wasn't on a high enough level for it. But he created it merely for the Mishkan. And once he created for the Mishkan, so he left it in the physical world. One of these were these trees, this cedar wood. Another was gold. So gold is always represented something of honor. A king would have gold. Gold ring, gold jewels, and it represented something of physical, of wealth. So it had to be made out of gold, because it states by the Torah, it states, the Pasuk says as follows, just looking for the Pasuk here, it says, Orech yomim b'yemino u'bishmola oshev kovet. The Torah gives length of days, and that's in its right hand, and in its left hand, it gives wealth and honor. So oshev kovet, you need the gold for. But there's a fault in gold. And what is that? It's dead. To take it out of the ground, it's dead. It doesn't grow. Nobody's invented the gold yet that will grow. If it doesn't grow, that's a sign it's not living. So there's a fault in it. On the other hand, wood, even the most precious wood, it's not as precious as gold, but it has a different benefit. It's alive. Wood is a living material. The gold even in the ground doesn't grow, but the wood in the ground grows. See, the gold is just a deposit. And not only that, but a tree grows and stays alive longer than any other plant in the universe. Trees can live for 20, 30, 40 years, 100 years, hundreds of years some trees live for. And it states that Torah, it states, is Orech Yomim, gives length of days. And actually, the Gemara Darshan, it doesn't mean it'll give you many years, because no matter how long someone lives, there's always an end. It means it's infinite. It'll bring you to Yom Shekula Orech, to the days which there are no end to. Because the Torah has its source in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no end to the Torah. So therefore it had to be made of wood also. And that's why it states, Etz Chaim Hi L'Machazikim Bo. Torah is compared to gold, and it's compared to wood. It's a living wood, a living tree to all of those who hold it. Now, the wood, though, had to be concealed, because the source of the life of the wood is always concealed. Not only in a tree. In a tree, the roots are deep and deep, and they're concealed. But certainly in the life of the Torah, because the life of the Torah goes right to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's where it gets its source. Kuchibrich v'raisachatu. Therefore, the wood had to be concealed. The gold, though, which represented wealth, that was for this world. And which represented honor, honor is revealed. The concealment is the antithesis to honor. So that had to be revealed. So therefore the wood was concealed, and the gold was revealed on the outside and the inside. But now there's a question. The gold on the outside was more revealed than the gold on the inside. When you opened up the urn, you could see the gold on the inside. But when it was closed, you couldn't. He says, because the gold represented, it states, Orachaim b'yaminai, Eishav v'koveid b'smolo. The gold represented the wealth, material wealth, and honor. Honor always has to be revealed. We're not supposed to pursue honor. We're not supposed to reveal ourselves for honor. But those that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give honor to, he reveals them. So honor is the synthesis with revealment. That's why it states a king. A king can't be b'chadrei hadorim, concealed. He has to be b'reish, the head of the nation. So it's the synthesis of honor. That was the gold on the outside of the Oren. Everybody came and they saw the Oren. Immediately they saw the beautiful gold, the honor that the Torah has. The honor of the Torah has to be revealed. The honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be revealed. That's the Kiddush Shem Shamayim Barabim. The wealth is in this world. So it's in the Olam HaNigla. It's in this world, in the revealed world. It's not like the Yom Shekula Oruch Bak, the day which comes from the next world that never ends. It's in this world. But wealth also must be revealed and concealed. Can't reveal too much. Because it states wealth is the broch of this world. In a brocha metsuya ella bedovish yesomay mina ayin. You do not find material wealth except on that which is, the Gemara says, kept concealed. So therefore, it had to be wood, because it's chayim. But that wood comes from that's the length of days where it sources in the next world. It's not for this world. The fulfillment of it is not in this world. Therefore, that was concealed. The other brochas, the broch of honor, the honor that the Torah must have and that it brings to the people that study it or that uphold it, and the wealth, the brochas that it can bring, the physical brochas that it can bring, that was in this world. So those were revealed, but the honor was on the outside, and the broch of the wealth was on the inside. So therefore, Bezalel made three arenas, and this is how he constructed them. This gives us some very important insights into the Mishkan and into the Aron HaKodesh.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.